my brothers and sisters, to do for me what nobody else can do. No doctor can do, no nurse can do, no, my brothers and sisters, medicine can do. I'm going to call on Almighty God. And so as we consider what James has to say about the subject of divine healing, first of all, I want to look at the problem. Watch the text so you don't think I'm making this up. Keep your Bibles open, my brothers and sisters. Listen, James' word here is as relevant today as it was in the first century. He was writing to a group of believers that were scattered, they were persecuted, they were mistreated because of their faith. And so their hearts were hurting, their homes had been destroyed, and their hopes had been shattered. They faced a problem, hear me and hear me good, that required help from on high. And so the church today, beloved, faces the same kinds of problems. People among us as well, people among us and people around us are hurting. Marriages are dissolving. Hopes are diminishing. And the truth is, securities are dissipating. We are dealing with this polarizing pandemic, political division, social unrest, systematic inequities, and wealth disparities. And so the church is to be in touch with the hurting world. And yet, beloved, there is good news in the midst of bad times. We have the answer. And I wish I could just flat out say it real quick. The answer is Jesus. And while we face problems in this world, we have a God who specializes in helping us when we are down, discouraged, and distressed. Here, James addresses the problems that require the help of the Lord. Here it is. First, he speaks of those who are suffering from external pressures. It's in the text because verse 13, he says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. The word suffering there is a Greek word that speaks of being in trouble. It speaks of someone afflicted or suffering the evil blows from the outside world. James was speaking to those believers who were being persecuted for their faith, and they were facing unbelievable and excruciating pressure from those in authority. They were being maligned by both the rulers as well as those who had riches. They were in trouble. They were afflicted, if you would. And while you and I in the Western world may never face such religious persecution, one thing is for certain, we do encounter troubles. I wish somebody would help me. We encounter trials and tribulations because we live in a sinful world. Hear me and hear me good. So like these early believers, we are often stricken with external pressures that James speak of. Those things that are on the outside pushing at us, pulling at us, tugging at us. That is the ideal of the word suffering. When you get to verse 14, we not only see those suffering from external pressures, but we also see those stricken with internal pain. Watch that. Verse 14, he says, is anyone among you sick? Now listen, that word there is the second category of people among those early believers who were suffering problems. Here it is. There was not only those suffering, those external pressures from without, but there were those who were stricken with internal pain. Simply put, James was speaking directly to sick people. It is interesting that James 5, verse 14 is the only directive in Scripture concerning praying for the sick. Numerous other passages record healing, hear me good, but it is only here where we receive divine instructions on how to pray for the sick. Interesting enough, much of what we see in the healing ministries today is directly opposed to what James says in the text. The key to understanding what James is describing is found in the word sick. It is from the Greek word astheneo. Listen, astheneo. It literally means to be without strength or weak. It refers to a weakness in the body, a weakness in the soul, and a weakness in the spirit. Hear me good, beloved. It can be used to speak of physical, emotional, or even spiritual sickness. James uses another word for sick in verse 15, which comes from the Greek word, which means to be weary. And it suggests a weariness of mind, that someone has become tired in what they're doing, are weary in their work. Are you hearing me? It is, if you would, used two other times in the New Testament. Both are referring to those who have grown weary in the faith. Hear me and hear me good, beloved. You see, evidently James is speaking about someone who has grown weary in the struggles of life, that they are trying to trust God, but it has become difficult and stressful, and they're tired physically of following the right path. I hope somebody hears me. The truth of the matter is, James is writing to a church scattered because of persecution, and that is the context in which James is writing. It would be out of context to all of a sudden talk about physical healing when, in fact, he was talking about a spiritual sickness or a spiritual weariness. He doesn't automatically just jump up and talk about the miraculous healing of physically from the ills and the sicknesses of the world, like cancer and COVID-19. That would be out of context. But my brothers and sisters, these people were facing troubles and trials, and they, believe it or not, were about to give in, give up, and give out. And truth is, James was not thinking about those who had the flu are those who had a headache or cancer or even COVID-19, but rather those who had grown weak, hear me, and weary in their service for the Lord. Listen, we ought not turn our nose up at any of them, because the truth of the matter is, some days in the work and the service of the Lord, because of the external pressures that's going on in the world, the truth is this: we get tired sometimes. We get weary from fighting battles that we should not have to fight. I wish somebody would help me. We get tired and weary in our service for the Lord. And this does not necessarily mean that this passage cannot apply to those who are physically sick of diseases in this world. God is the great physician, and he is still in the healing business. Somebody ought to type hallelujah right along there. God is still a healer. And if you got sickness in your body, disease, my brothers and sisters, it's all right. Call on the name of the Lord, because God still heals. I wish somebody would help me. The truth of the matter is, he's still in the healing business, and I hope somebody gets that. Yes, he still heals. Somebody ought to say amen. He still heals, and don't let anybody ever tell you anything different. God still heals. And listen, beloved, however, this passage has little to do with physical healing, but with believers who are weak, weary, discouraged, depressed, worried, and even wounded. The truth is, James was asking, in effect, is there anyone who's weak among you and weary among you and do not have the strength to pray? How do you know that? Because listen, in verse 13, those folk who were suffering could pray, but those in verse 14, I believe it was, could not pray. And so if you had been wounded and weary and got to the place where you couldn't even pray for yourself, James gives us, I wish somebody would help me, what we need to do. I wish somebody get that today. This situation certainly could apply to various things. When someone becomes weak, weary, discouraged, depressed in their faith, it can most definitely bring on many physical and and emotional problems. Listen, like these people, when we are faced with this type of problem, James is saying that we require God's help. I wish somebody would help me. Do you know that there will be situations in this life? There will be external pressures and internal pains that you cannot handle on your own. And the truth is, whether you want to accept it or not, you need to call on a God who got all power in his hand. And the truth of the matter is, you need to call on God. You need to call his name. Matter of fact, just type in the section right there. Just type in the comment section, Jesus is his name. And if I was really trying to preach this thing, I would tell you, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, Jesus, every day the same. Jesus, Jesus, let every heart proclaim the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. You ought to just right where you are, right back real quick, and just shout the name Jesus. Oh my God, I like saying that name, Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. At the name of Jesus, the worlds came together at the name of Jesus. I wish somebody would help me. He is still a healer. He's the one that got a coin out of the fish's mouth. He's the one that fed 5,000 at the side of a hillside. I wish somebody would help me. He is the one who walked on water. His name is Jesus. And that, I believe, is what the purpose of this text is, that when you get to the place where you can't pray for yourself, what do you do? That's it right there. That's the problem that we want to highlight today when it comes to this divine healing. Listen, we see the problem, but what is the process? It's in the text. See, because be it physical, emotional, psychological, or spiritual healing, James gives somewhat of a process that can be followed, not as a guarantee, but as a guide. I wish somebody would help me. Some folk would tell you that if you just do this, call the elders, let the elders lay some oil on you. I wish somebody would help me. You are guaranteed to be healed from your fit. That's not true. I wish somebody would help me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The truth is, this is simply a guide that will help us along the way. Beloved, this is what we believe. Healing is divine. Doctors do not heal. Medicines do not heal. That's why, my brothers and sisters, proper diet or exercise does not heal. God heals, and let me say it emphatically, God alone heals. Now, I do know that God can use doctors. He can use medicine. He can use proper diet. And he can even use exercise, but he is the one who brings any type of healing in our life. James gives a process, and that process, first of all, involves responsibility. It's in the text. Listen, he says, those that were sick, in other words, those that are weary, those that are weak and could not pray for themselves, James says in verse 14, let him call the elders of the church. There's that word elder. Now, you know, we talked about that a couple days ago. Let them call the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The word called in the text is the Greek word that simply means to summon. It describes the responsibility of the person who is sick or weary. In other words, it is not the church's responsibility to call for the sick person, but it is the sick person's responsibility to call the church. I wish somebody would help me. The first step is not to be taken by the church, but by the patient. There are many times in my pastorate that folk will come up to me and say, Pastor, I've been gone for 3 weeks and you didn't call me. I said, Mother, I didn't know you were gone. I said, why didn't you call the church? She said, well, I was in the hospital and I couldn't let in. I didn't know. I said, now, Mother, I know you got some folk in your life. life that could have called us and let us know that you was in the church. Can I ask you this? How can the church know that you are sick, that you are weary, that you are going through if you don't call the church? You ought to call. I wish somebody would help me. Go ahead, tap it in the highlight there in the comment section. I'm going to call next time. I know I'm right about it. The truth of the matter is, beloved, it says that the sick person is to take the initiative to call for the elders of the church. This is the total contrast to many of the healing ministries that we see on TV today. These so-called healers call for the sick person to come to them. They call them out of the aisle. I believe somebody out there got an eye ailment. Now, you're talking to 3,000 folks. Somebody out there got an eye ailment. You're talking to somebody who got something going on. That's not the ideal, it says, beloved. That's a total contrast to what James is saying. Rather than allow the sick person to come to them. Listen, I need you to know that if I'm sick, it is my responsibility to initiate contact with my local church. That's why everybody needs a church home. Come on, somebody help me. You can't call your church if you have no church. That's why you ought to join St. Paul today, because you got a church home. You will have a church home where people can put their arms around you and help you in your time of need. Are you listening to me? It's my responsibility to call, to initiate and contact my local church and request the elders of the church to pray for me. Listen, this is for free, because listen, if anybody got these real healing ability to heal and power to heal, why wouldn't they walk into every nursing home, ICU, emergency room, children's hospital, and lay hands on every sick person that's in that place, instead of asking for a seed offering or asking you to stretch your hands toward the television? I wish somebody would help me. And once you get through stretching your hands toward the television, the next word that is that if you receive the healing or if you want to be healed, just send me a seed offering. Listen, beloved, don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't fall for that. Don't be sending your money to some televangelist thinking you gonna get healed. If you just wanna give your money away, I got two boys in college and one on the way. I wish somebody would help me. I can use the money if you don't want it. I wish somebody would help. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for the foolishness that we see on television. But here's my point here, that anyone who is weak or sick has the responsibility to call for the elders of the person. Let them pray over him. And the text says that the elders are to anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The word anointing in the Greek means to rub with oil. It describes an outward anointing of an entire body. It is the same word used of the Good Samaritan, where he bandaged the injured traveler by pouring oil on the injured traveler's wounds. James is not speaking about some ritual to symbolize the Holy Spirit's power, where the elders dip the tip of their finger in the oil and drop it on the forehead of the sick person as a symbol. Rather, they were to rub the body of the sick person with oil in order to provide comfort. I like the way one commentator put it when he said, James may have in mind the medical treatment of believers physically bruised and battered by persecution. And perhaps it's better to understand the anointing in a metaphorical sense of the elders encouraging, comforting, and strengthening the believers. Listen, I like that, because it was a way of bringing comfort or medicine to the believers. It is, my brothers and sisters, not any power in the oil. It's like bringing chicken soup or something to eat. Please note, beloved, that the anointing oil in of itself is has no healing potential. I wish somebody would help me. It's not a magic potion. It is not a cure-all for man's malady. malady. If I lay oil on you or some Crisco, I wish somebody would help me. If I take some Vaseline and put it on your forehead, that is not a magic potion for you to be healed. I wish somebody would help me. I don't care if you use extra virgin olive oil or what. It doesn't matter. It's not a magic potion. Tap that in the comment section. Just say it ain't no magic. This is no hocus pocus. This is not about, I wish somebody would help me. This is not about David Copperfield and some magical, mystical kind of thing. No, this is about, when he talks about anointing oil, it is about comfort. It is about calling the elders around to pray for you when you cannot pray for yourself. And the anointing oil is really about comfort. I wish somebody would help me. I believe the point is not the oil at all, nor the anointing, but following God's divine mandate regarding scriptural comforting of those who cannot comfort themselves. That beloved, we see the problem, we see the process, we see in the process there's a responsibility for me to call the church, and the elders are to come and pray for me. The Bible says laying up anointing me with oil. I wish somebody would help me. But watch not only the responsibility in the process, watch the accountability. It's in the text. We often overlook this verse, but it fits right into the context of divine healing. Watch this, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. This implies an outward accountability. If you would. Listen, James says that if we seek healing, we must confess and pray for one another. I don't believe that James is advising us to go around confessing all of our secret sins to everybody in the church. Somebody just say, no. Listen, don't do that. Please, please, please. Where is James Brown when I need him? Please, please, don't do that, because everybody can't handle your mess, your mishaps, nor your mistakes. The good news is that we are privileged to go straight to the throne of God and confess our sins. And the Bible says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and the truth of the matter is we serve a faithful God who is able to forgive sin. Don't go telling everybody your sins. I wish somebody would help me, because everybody can't handle your stuff. I wish somebody would get that real quick. Tap somebody or type it in the comment and say, I know that's right. I know that's right. Listen, however, this is what James is saying. He's saying that if we expect to be right, listen, with God, then we must be right with one another. To be vertically, to write vertically, we must first be right horizontally. Listen, the context of the passage is that when one grows weak and weary and sick in their faith and service to the Lord, the believer becomes prone to falling in sin. Right here, I'm not talking about the super saint. I'm just talking about the Christian that can get real with me right here. That when we are weary, when we are weak, when we are sick in our service to the Lord, we are prone to mistakes, mishaps, and mess ups. I wish somebody would help me. We are prone to fall into sin. Listen, beloved, most of us can admit that those times when when things got hard or difficult or tough, when we became weak and weary, we were most vulnerable and felt defenseless against the enemy. So we fell off the wagon. We went back to an old lifestyle, our old way of doing things. We flat out sinned, messed up, and just missed the mark. We went back either to an old boo. I wish somebody would help me. Some puffed the pipe or hit the blunt. Some drank the Long Island iced tea. I wish somebody would help me. They had the Cavassier. I wish somebody would help me, the sidecar or the seven 7 and 7. I wish you know what I'm talking about. The truth of the matter is, beloved, we drank everybody under the table. It was those times where we felt weak and vulnerable, where we cussed folk out at the local Piggly Wiggly. It meant that we were mean to those who loved us. And even though they loved us in spite of us, we still was mean to them. And James is saying that when you get to that place, you must, those sins against one another must be confessed if one expects any kind of healing. If bitterness or malice or anger or resentment exists between the believers, James says it must be confessed. You got to say, I'm sorry. You got to go to a brother and say, I was wrong. You got to go to the sister girl and say, I didn't mean all that. Are you listening to me? It's got to be confessed. The truth of the matter is, beloved, James says that it must be confessed if one expects to be healed. He must be accountable. There's an outward accountability that is the horizontal, but also there is a vertical. Watch this. James says that it must be confessed if one expects to be healed as an outward accountability, but it also implies that there must be an upward accountability. Listen, verse 14, it says, if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. How is one forgiven? Only God really forgives. Then that means that we got to go to God in an upward accountability and say, God, I've sinned against you. James seems to say that we must search our heart when sickness or weariness or weakness comes to us long before we seek healing for our bodies. We sinned against our fellow believer, and ultimately the suggestion is that we've sinned against God. Are you listening to me? We need to make sure that we are right with God and right with one another. You see, the challenge with us is that we want to be right with God, but don't want to be right with our brother or sister. We want to walk around as if we are in touch, or we are God's best friend, as if we know the Lord for ourselves, and can't nobody tell me nothing about my relationship with God, that he is my ace boon coon. Listen, beloved, that I'm so right with God. But listen, you cannot be right with God if you are not right with your brother man, with your fellow man. The truth of the matter is, matter of fact, God said if your brother got an ought against you, you might as well get on up out of worship, go get that thing right. I wish somebody would help me. Then you come back and worship me. The truth of the matter is, whole lot of folk are messed up in worship, can't lift their hands, can't shout hallelujah, can't say amen, can't do your dance, because you ain't right with God, simply because you ain't right with one another. And you can't be right with one another because then that means you ain't right with God. So listen, it can be fake and phony. We can put on airs when we get to church. We can act like we holy. I wish somebody would help me. But you got a problem with your brother or your sister or your fellow man, I need to tell you right here, something ain't right with your worship, and it ain't right with your relationship with God. I wish somebody would help me. That's right here. That's what I'm trying to help somebody. You need to get it right with one another so that we can be right with God. Preach, Reese, I'm trying to do that. Listen, beloved, when we sin, when we're weak and weary, we sin, we mess up, we miss the mark, and we sin against our fellow brother. Ultimately, we are sinning against God. Hear me, beloved, we need to make sure that we are right with God and right with one another. It's the old saying that confession is good for the soul. I wish somebody would help me, that if you just get stuff off your chest and say what you gotta say, stop holding that stuff in and learn how to deal with it by going to your brother or your sister and then going to God. Are you listening to me? That's the process. The process process involves responsibility and involves accountability, responsibility that we are to initiate the call to the church, to call the elders, and the elders are to anoint with oil as a way of comfort. The accountability is I need to confess my faults one to another, to the ones that I sinned against, and I need to confess to God. If I have sinned, my sins will be forgiven. That is, beloved, the process. That's the problem. But watch the prayer. I like this part. This shouts me every time. Listen, we see the process. We see the problem. But let's look at the prayer. The entire focus of James' discussion is the prayer, is that prayer is the key to securing God's help and healing. If a person is sick, if a person is weary and weak and even wounded, listen, beloved, the issue is not if the church has or doesn't have any anointing oil, but the issue is believing prayer. The word prayer that James uses here speaks of a humble begging or plea. It is the most humble word for prayer in the Greek language. This is not the prayer that orders God to do certain things or claim certain things. I name it and claim it. I wish somebody would help me stop blabbing and grabbing it. I wish somebody would help me. This ain't what he's talking about. Rather, this word prayer suggests a needy man with his head bowed and humbly asking God for help to hear and heal him. Listen, James seems to say that if we are going to pray prayers that request God to hear, and if we are going to expect our prayers to be answered, listen, then it must involve a humble prayer described in three ways. First of all, this type of prayer is approached sincerely. James describes in verse 16 that the prayer of a righteous man. What does it mean to be righteous? The word simply implies being right with God. In order to prevail with prayer, with God in prayer, we must be clean before God. There has to be no unconfessed sin in our heart. In order for us to get an audience with God, it requires for us to be right. Listen, the psalmist said it very straightly when he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he says, the Lord will not hear me. Nothing could be plainer from the truth. If I have something in my heart that is not right, the Lord will not hear my prayers. If he cannot hear my prayers, then the ultimate is that I will not get my answer. Too often we pray with unclean hearts, then blame God when we do not receive an answer. However, James says that the first requirement there for the Lord to help, heal, or to hear us is that we can say with Charles Albert Tenney, nothing between my soul and the Savior, not of this world's elusive dreams. I have renounced all sinful pleasures. Jesus is mine, and there's nothing in between. In other words, beloved, if I expect God to hear me, I can't have any unconfessed sins on my heart. I got to, my brothers and sisters, approach God sincerely saying, Lord, I've messed up. I've missed the mark. I've fallen short of your glory. I did things that you told me not to do, and those things you told me to do, I left undone. I've missed it. I've messed up. And the truth of the matter is, I've got to approach God with a sincere heart. Listen, not only that, but I also have to ask earnestly. Not only approach sincerely, but ask earnestly. Watch this. James describes the prayer in verse 16 as a great power as it is working. Other versions, as you all know, say the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Those two words, effectual and fervent, hear me and hear me good, is where we get our word energy from. It literally means to stretch out. It gives the picture of a runner stretching stretching for the finish line in one last gasp of energy. He reaches for the finish line there. And James is saying that if we are to prevail, if we are to avail with God in prayer, if we are to expect God to hear our prayers, then we must pray with integrity and intensity. We must pray sincerely and earnestly. We must put our heart into it. We must pour our heart out to God in prayer. It reminds me of these three preachers who were talking about prayer and the approach and the effective positions in which they prayed. One of the preachers said that I love talking about prayer. I love praying with my hands together, pointing them upward as the form of symbolic worship. The second pastor preacher said, I suggest that real prayer is conducted when one is on their knees. The third suggested that the only way to pray was while stretched out flat on your face. At the time, there was a telephone repairman who was listening to them, and the telephone repairman interrupted them, and he said, listen, I found that the most powerful prayer I have ever made was while I was dangling down by my heels from a telephone pole suspended 40 feet above ground. I wish somebody would have helped me right here. What am I trying to say? James is talking when he says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much. He's talking more not about now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. He's describing much more than a simple prayer over one's meal. This is no, Lord, I thank you for this food that we are about to receive for the nourishment of our bodies. This, rather, James is describing someone who approaches God earnestly and with intensity. This is a getting down to business with God prayer. This is, I don't have the time for big flowery words. I don't have the time, if you would, for using big language. I wish somebody would help me. I just need to call on the name of the Lord, and I need to do it with intensity. This is what we used to have in days gone by, where the old church used to say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. He says, no other help I know, that if thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? It simply was saying, back in the day, we used to say, Lord, listen, if you don't help me, I don't know who else will. If you don't come through for me, I don't know what else can. It won't be my money. It won't be my mama. It won't be the doctor. It won't be the nurses. It won't be Kaiser or UCD. If you don't help me, Lord, I won't get any help. And I'm calling earnestly and intensely on the name of the Lord. I wish somebody would help me. I would get in my secret closet and I would call on his name. If I was sick, I would call on him with intensity and earnestly. That is what James is talking about. And he says that when somebody calls, he says, I need you to do it with earnesty and intensity. You need to ask God to make a way. Preach, Reese. I'm trying to do that. Listen, let me just let you go by just telling you this last thing. Listen, when we come to this place, beloved, about the prayer, we need to approach sincerely, ask earnestly. But we better recognize when we do that, it will be answered immensely. I love James 5. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And whenever I read that word, that verse, I got to ask the question, how much is it working? How much is the righteous person's prayer working? And listen, I believe verses 17 and 18 answer that. James gives the illustration of how much that type of prayer can work. Watch what he says. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Watch what he says. He prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3.5 years, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and earth bore its fruit. I hope somebody gets that. Whenever you hear the name Elijah, hear me, beloved, we immediately think of a great man of God, and indeed he was. However, James reminds us that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, Elijah had the same nature that each of us has. In other words, Elijah put his pants on one leg at a time, just like you and I. The words translated with a nature like ours simply means to be similarly affected. In other words, Elijah was subject to the same kind of human emotions we are subject to, and liable to the same kinds of weaknesses that we all have in this life. Another translator rendered the words with feelings just like ours. In other words, although Elijah was a great man, can I just suggest he was just a man? That's all James is trying to say. And James is saying that if Elijah prevailed in prayer with God, he says we too can prevail in prayer with God. That if we approach God sincerely and ask God earnestly, then God can answer our prayer immensely. If we will approach God sincerely, listen, beloved, ask earnestly, listen, God can answer immensely. How much did Elijah's prayer avail or work? He prayed one time, and it stopped raining for 3.5 years. He prayed one more time, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Can I tell you what this passage is saying to me? Can I tell you what it says to my heart? It reminds me that if I approach God with a sincere heart, and if I ask God earnestly and intensely, my prayer can do anything God can do. I wish somebody would help me. And can I remind you that God can do anything he wants to? If he wants to heal, he'll heal. If he wants to deliver, he'll deliver. Shall I ask you, is there anything too hard for God? And I need to answer that for you. No, God can do anything, anything he wants. And James is saying that the prayer of faith will save or deliver the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. In other words, the ideal is not in the anointing. The ideal is not in the oil. The ideal is not the elders laying hands on you. The ideal is that whatever the outcome, I've got to trust Almighty God. That whatever God is going to do, either way he handles this thing, I'm going to put my trust in him, because God is able to raise me up. Are you listening to me? God is able to make a way out of no way. God is able to do what no man can do. No medicine, no doctor, no nurse. And so if I'm going to get any kind of healing, whether it be emotional healing, whether it be physical healing, whether it be mental healing, whether it be healing my finances or healing my, I wish somebody would help me. I've got to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I got to lean not to my own understanding, and in all of my ways, whoo, help me hear somebody, I've got to acknowledge him, and he will make my path straight. I hope somebody gets that today, because it reminds me that one Saturday night, a pastor was working late and decided to call his wife and tell her he was on his way home. So he picked up the phone, called his wife. It rang and rang and rang, but Lisa didn't answer. I wish somebody would help me. She didn't pick up the phone. And so he thought it strange that she hadn't picked up the phone. He said, well, I'll wrap this up and then I'll just call her later. So as he wrapped everything up, about 10 o'clock, he called again. Immediately, Lisa picked up the phone. And he said to her, he said, I called you earlier, but you did not pick up the phone. She said, well, the phone didn't ring here. I'm sorry, baby, but it didn't ring here. They thought it strange and they brushed it off. But listen, that that Monday morning, that same pastor got a call from a man who was asking him, why did you call me on Saturday night? The pastor said, well, I didn't call you on Saturday night. Perhaps when I was trying to call my wife, I called your phone by accident. The man said, well, it's okay. I understand. But let me just tell you my story. He says, well, you need to know that at that time that phone rang, I was about to commit suicide. And I told God, I said, God, if you don't want me to do this, he says, you got to, if you would, make that phone ring now. And when that phone rang, I looked at the caller ID and it said Almighty God. Do you need to know, beloved, the reason why that phone said Almighty God is because the church that the man pastor was called Almighty Church of God in Christ. I wish somebody would help me. The truth of the matter is, beloved, I don't know when and I don't know how, but I do know God still answers prayer. He makes ways out of no way, and somehow or another God can do anything he wants to do. It matters not if you need God to help you or to heal you or to heal you. He is Almighty God, and if you call unto him, he will answer you, and your prayer will avail much. I'm done. I'm done here because I don't want to shout you and you forget everything I said. But just know you can call on the name of the Lord and God still hears and answers prayer. Listen, I'm done. You can just play softly if you would real quick, because this is by way of telling somebody today that you need the Lord in your life. Listen, we talk about healing. With all of this stuff going on in the world, you can't handle this stuff by yourself. The social injustice, the police brutality, and all of that. You can't handle that stuff by yourself. This pandemic that we've been in for well over a year, where everything is shut down and locked up. You can't handle it by yourself. You need God. Yes, Lord. And so I'm inviting you right now to make a commitment to the Lord. That's why I love in the first verse we wrote, he says, those of you who are cheerful, those of you, just softly please, those of you who are cheerful, he says, let them sing praises. You know why he says that? He talks about those that are suffering, those that are cheerful, those that are sick, those that are going through. See, people handle certain situations differently. Some people can go through trials and tribulation and still remain cheerful and have joy in their heart, while others, when they're going through suffering, they get to, are sick, they can't even pray for themselves. That ought to remind us that we ought to not turn our nose up at anybody, because where a certain person is, listen, it's them right now, but it could be us next time. I hope somebody hears me today. That's why you need a church home. That's why you need a place to call home. That's why you need a place where the people of God can put their arms around you to help you to grow and mature in the Lord. Are you listening to me? And so, beloved, I'm encouraging you right now that if you don't know the Lord, get to know the Lord for yourself. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart God raised him from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. Somebody needs to know the Lord today, and we extend the invitation to you. We extend it now. But also, if you're out there, you say, I'm saved, but I don't have a church home. Listen. Hebrews chapter 10, line 25 says, we ought not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, which is the manner of some. And it goes on to say, especially as we see the day approaching, as we see the day that the Lord's going to come back and all this stuff is happening, he's suggesting you need a church home. And a Christian out of church is like a fish out of water. Right above the screen, there's a number you can call, both those who want to know the Lord and those who know the Lord, but you need a church home. Call this number that's flashing right before me. That is not flashing, that is scrolling, I think it is, right before me. And there are people who have already prayed for you. There's people who are lifting you up right now in the name of Jesus, that you would make a decision for Jesus Christ today. Listen, are y'all going to sing today? Come on. Amen. This choir is going to give us an invitational song. Amen. Is there one? Wonderful change. And praise be to God. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you for those who made commitments even right now. We pray in particular, oh God, as they come, as they call, Lord, we pray you move upon their heart. We know you know who they are, and we're going to trust you with that in the wonderful name of Jesus. And together, every God, child of God said, amen, amen, amen. Listen, thank you for tuning in today. I want to encourage you to keep on giving. Listen, St. Paul family, God has been good to us. And listen, you gotta continue to give. Let the Lord use you through giving. It is by your sacrificial giving that we're able to do the mission and the mandate of this church, that we're able to carry out what God has called us to do. So I'm encouraging all of you to continue to give, continue to, because here's the thing that we need to know. We cannot outgive God. So don't forget. We can give in many different ways. Mail it in, hit it by text message. You can give today in many different ways. And I'm encouraging, do that on this day. Let me just give you a few reminders. Listen, our 73rd church anniversary is coming up. And listen, that'll be March 21st. And we're going to try to worship outdoors. We probably won't be back in. So don't rush us. Amen. We're going to worship outdoors. And I want to receive, if we could, a special offering for our outreach ministries. Listen, and we want to recognize our COVID-19 heroes. So come on, be a part of that March 21st. And then those of you who know need college cash for college, there's going to be a workshop with the Greater Sacramento Urban League. And we will be hosting two virtual cash for college workshops. The workshops will be Thursday and Saturday, so go to the scholarship page on the St. Paul website to register. And then, this is Black History Month. Listen, we ought to always recognize, set aside time to honor those who made marks in history, especially those who are of color. You know that our history books are not as correct as they should be in our school districts, and so the church uses some time to recognize individuals who have made marks in Black history. Sort of like Miss Carolyn Mitchell Guidry, who was one of the first three African American students to integrate her high school in Hammond, Louisiana. We want to highlight those kinds of things. So listen, send those kinds of things to us. Deadline is February 15th, and we want to do that. I want to thank everybody who participated with the Super Bowl Sunday. You saw that I had my cowboy jersey on. Listen, praise be to God. Listen, and my jeans on. Listen, it's all right to worship in jersey and jeans every now and then. As long as you're right with God, I wish somebody would help me, because it's not what you got on so much, listen, as it is what's in your heart. So praise be to God, and we'll talk more about that later on. Listen, the truth is this: God is good. We thank God for this young adult praise team. Thank God for Perseus. Good to see Pastor Ephraim Williams with us. I want you to have a wonderful week. Let God use you this week. And listen, if you got somebody who's weak and weary, listen, don't call, if you are weak and weary, call the elders, call somebody, initiate somebody to come and to pray for you. Listen, let's pray together and we'll let it go today. Now unto him who's able to keep us from falling, present us faultless before his throne of grace. Unto the only wise God be power and dominion, hence, now, and forevermore. And together all of God's children shouted amen. Amen. We'll see you Wednesday.